a big part of my vision for the world is I think that small business is really important to creating healthy communities. You know, it's a little counterintuitive, but I think the more specific your vision is, the more it will appeal to people.
Welcome back to the Fifth Wave podcast. I'm Jeffrey Young, Editor-in-Chief of Fifth Wave. In today's episode, we're speaking with Eileen Rinaldi, founder and CEO of San Francisco's Ritual Coffee Roasters. Established in 2005, Ritual was a forerunner in San Francisco's specialty coffee movement that exploded in the late 2000s. Today, the business operates five sites and a roastery in the Bay Area and Napa Valley. In this insightful conversation, Eileen discusses her ambition for Ritual to become a community-led and company-owned business, and how she finds joy in providing an analog experience in the increasingly digital world. Eileen also stresses the importance of having a clear vision, being fully committed to your goals, and making sure you have access to enough capital before it's critical. Welcome, Eileen.
Thank you so much.
I wonder if you give us some background on yourself and how you got into coffee.
My story starts not in coffee, but in a gourmet food store. My sister was a huge influence on my life, and she owns an amazing small business. It's a gourmet food store and catering business in New York. And I grew up working for her. So, you know, a lot of my understanding of the food and hospitality business comes from working with her. My first coffee job was at an independent bookstore and cafe in Washington, D.C. called Politics and Prose. And from there, I moved to Seattle, where the coffee industry at that time was way ahead of the rest of the United States. And that's where I really got into the craft of coffee. And shortly after that, I moved to San Francisco, and I knew that San Francisco was home, and it was where I wanted to start my business.
And what was the original vision when you started that journey? What do you think? Just opening a coffee shop, or was it a roaster to begin with?
The vision that I had was based on what I had seen in Seattle and Portland, which was, you know, the roasting companies that would serve a city, you know, and have a roastery and 3 to 5 cafes in that city, and they would do wholesale. For me, what really was important was I wanted a place that would create community. And I wanted a place that would raise the bar for specialty coffee in the Bay Area. When we opened our second location, which was in 2007, I made a postcard that said, San Francisco ain't known for great coffee yet. And, you know, I came across it a few years later and it was like, oh, it is now known for amazing coffee. You know, we host tours of people from all over the world who come to San Francisco to drink coffee. Because we are known for having such a strong coffee scene. And of course, many nationally and internationally known brands have started here. And I'm proud to say that, you know, Ritual was the our first location is the one on Valencia Street in the Mission District. We opened there in 2005. And that was the first brick and mortar cafe serving the style of coffee that San Francisco is now known for.
That's feel really special having been there in those very early days, and others, you know, followed in your footsteps, including Blue Bottle, no doubt.
Yeah, we opened the same year. And I, you know, what was amazing about that time was there was just so much energy around specialty coffee, and there was so much camaraderie. There were three baristas who worked at Blue Bottle, Steve, Arno, and Jamie. And in the early days of Ritual, I would be there from 6 in the morning until 11 at night because we were open. We're open till 11 p.m. And, you know, Steve would come by with, you know, some coffee and some beer and hang out with me while I closed the cafe. And we would nerd out on, you know, tamping techniques and things like that over beer at the end of the day.
So back in 2005, there's yourself, one of the only bricks and mortar specialty coffee outlets. When did it start to pick up? When did that moment that you start to feel that it wasn't just you and a couple of others around you?
I mean, the response from our community was instantaneous. Like, we opened on a Thursday, and that Saturday, there was a line down the block and around the corner.
Wow.
You know, so, and it was funny because it was a mixture of people. There were, I would say, our, you know, we could sort our customers into kind of two broad categories. Half of our customers were people from Seattle and Portland who their feeling was, finally, San Francisco has good coffee. I don't know why it took so long. And then there was another half of the customers who had never had good coffee. And, you know, I remember one of them, after I made his drink, he looked at it and he said, I don't know why, but this is so much better than anything I've ever had before. And, you know, and there were people who were annoyed. They were like, this isn't on my way to work. This is going to, I have to rearrange my whole life now to make it that this is on my way to work. And so, you know, I think that momentum, it didn't take long because there was such a strong response from people who were in the community as well as people who just wanted to appreciate our new art form.
Yeah, yeah. And what about those second wave operators? I mean, Starbucks would have had a fair presence in San Francisco by that time. Were they resonating?
Yeah, I mean, the hometown brand in the Bay Area is Pete's, which I don't know if you know the legacy. Pete's actually was credited with teaching the people from Starbucks how to roast and get started. So people here, I mean, to this day are extremely loyal to Pete's. And, you know, I would say that that's actually, I mean, I think it's really generational. I think people who are a little bit older are still diehard Pete's fans. Younger folks tend to gravitate towards the lighter roasts and, you know, the more transparency and origin. And I think there is even a newer wave coming in, which is a focus on signature drinks and just really creative expressions of coffee.
And when do you think it really got interesting?
I would say that it's been about 10 years because the early days, it was, you know, just us and Blue Bottle. And then Four Barrels, Sight Glass, Andy Town. But about 10 years ago, that's when St. Frank opened and kind of the next generation. You didn't have to go out of your way for good coffee. It just became like, oh, every neighborhood in San Francisco now has the good coffee place. And you just have to know which one is the dominant one in that neighborhood.
Yeah. And tell us about Ritual today. What's the scale of your business? Is it five or six stores that you operate?
Yeah, we have five cafes. So it's three in different neighborhoods in San Francisco. One up in Napa, which is about an hour and a half away from San Francisco in wine country. And one at SFO. And the roastery is still in San Francisco. And from there, we support our cafes as well as a couple hundred wholesale accounts and e-commerce.
Just for my own, SFO is San Francisco.
SFO is the airport.
Okay.
So that's another, like, you know, indicator to me of how much things have changed, because in 2008, people came and said, oh, I want you to put a cafe in the airport. Mine just didn't, I didn't think it would be possible. I didn't think it would be possible to do the quality that we do in the volume and pace of the airport. And now, you know, we're doing it and it's amazing and people are so appreciative, and it just elevates the whole experience of flying when you can get a proper coffee in a proper ceramic cup.
Yeah.
You know, while you're waiting to board your flight.
And so how important is the roasting part of your business to you?
Oh, it's huge, because it's the heart of our brand. You know, when we opened, I didn't actually know anything about roasting. I had never worked as a roaster. The company I worked for before Ritual was very second wave, so it was all very secretive about their blends and their technique. And so when we started roasting, It was Dwayne from Stumptown, showed us how to turn the roaster on. And he gave me a warning that my long hair should be pulled back in a ponytail so it didn't get caught in the roaster. And that was it. He was like, all right, you guys will figure out the rest from here. You know, and so we accidentally pioneered our own style of coffee. And to this day, we've hired roasters from other specialty coffee companies around the Bay Area that roast great coffee. And when we teach them our way of roasting, they think we're nuts.
Yeah.
Because we require a lot more effort and attention from the people who are roasting the coffee than most companies do. I mean, we still roast on vintage probaths, and I believe that that is a huge part of what makes our coffee so delicious. And so that allows us to have, you know, a really unique perspective.
Yeah.
You know, our product is just really different than what other people are doing.
Now, while I haven't ever had the pleasure of visiting a Ritual cafe, I have seen your brand about in a lot of places. So presumably you have a fairly substantial wholesale business.
Yeah, we've been wholesaling since 2007 or so. And we have really strong relationships with our wholesale accounts, especially the cafes that serve our coffee. And it's really a deep partnership because we start, you know, when somebody reaches out and says, I'm thinking about opening a cafe, our relationship starts. And, you know, we will go and visit locations with people and tell them what we think of how successful it's going to be. You know, and make sure that when they're in the construction process and when they're selecting their equipment, that they're making choices that are going to be aligned with the vision that they have for their company.
Yeah.
And just supporting them in how to be a successful business, you know, because so many people are driven to open cafes, but they don't necessarily know coffee or they don't know how to price things and things like that.
Yeah.
So we really do a lot of handholding to make sure that people are going to be successful. And a big part of my vision for the world is I think that small business is really important to creating healthy communities. And so just fostering other people to build strong small businesses, whether it's cafes or restaurants.
Yeah. What would you say? Because you obviously meet a lot of people that excited about setting up their own cafes and, you know, you as a leader have done it yourself and highly successful. What would you say are the things that a new cafe owner, prospective cafe owner needs to really understand before they go into this?
You know, it's a little counterintuitive, but I think the more specific your vision is, the more it will appeal to people. So I think about, you know, a lot of the second wave cafes that were in San Francisco when I opened, it was like they had mediocre coffee and they would all have turkey sandwiches and mediocre pastries. And then I talked to somebody who had just a really specific vision for their cafe. They really loved cold brew and they wanted to only do cold brew. And, you know, I think that like, if you have a really clear, really specific vision, people respond to that and they want to support that. And it's also something that, you know, people just go out of their way. So I think I wish I had understood that earlier, that other people can't see the thing that you can see, and the world needs that. The world needs, you know, people to bring these ideas to reality. I also think that when I see businesses fail, a lot of time it's because they weren't committed to realizing their full vision. They were like, well, I have this idea, but I can't afford it, or I didn't find the right space, so I signed a lease on this other space. And it's really important to realize your vision all the way. And so when I see people who are, you know, going to be successful, it's the ones who understand that every detail matters in realizing their vision. And then I think, you know, there's one other just kind of little piece of business advice that I wish I had understood, which is money is an important part of running a business, and access to money can be challenging. So, you know, something I wish I had understood sooner is that you have to borrow money when you don't need it. You're like, well, why would I borrow money if I don't need it? But once you need it, no one's going to give it to you. So it's too late. So there's a funny thing where it's like when your business is doing well, sometimes it's a good idea to borrow money for the next thing you want to do in the next phase of your business.
That's amazing advice, having that clear vision and making sure you have access to money when you need it, but also being fully committed to that vision. What would you say is your vision for Ritual today?
I have a really ambitious vision for my company, which is I really want to turn it into an employee-owned company.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all sorts of people telling me it's never going to work and that that's not a viable strategy. But, you know, those same people also told me San Francisco wasn't ready for good coffee, and they're eating their words now. So for me, I see this trajectory of all these amazing small coffee companies. I mean, look at my peer Blue Bottle. They're now owned by Nestle, you know, so Blue Bottle was such an amazing company that was really dedicated to quality and having a unique vision. And, you know, to see a company like that then become this little piece of a portfolio of a giant, you know, one of the most massive corporations in the world, they're no longer going to be making decisions based on their community.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just can't at that kind of a scale. Yes. The decisions are made somewhere completely differently. And so in my vision of the world, you know, again, I think small businesses are so important to meeting the needs of the community and supporting, you know, making decisions that are good for our planet and good for our people. And so for me, when I think about my legacy and how I want Ritual to continue long after I want to be running it, you know, the way that I want to see that happen is I want to figure out a way to have it be owned by a group of employees who make decisions. So we're right now in the process of building the infrastructure that would support that and making sure that we have strong leadership teams who know how to make business decisions and, you know, a culture in the company that's supportive of the business and understands, you know, how to make these decisions.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time.
I'm really interested in this employee-owned company idea. I think it's very powerful. What are the steps to making that work? What concretely do you think you're going to end up with, you know, in a few years' time?
So where we're starting is making sure that we have a strong infrastructure and making sure that every role at Ritual has clear definition. And the next piece of it, I think, I mean, really what we're working on is getting into a strong financial position.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's no secret that the last few years have been really challenging for business. So that has been a little bit of a setback in our timeline. And then just right now, what we're doing is really documenting all the decisions we're making and who makes them. Because 5 years ago, it was just I made the decisions and it didn't really matter. And now that I'm really consciously moving towards this model, it's like, okay, I'm really trying to put any high-level decisions to the management team so that they're getting practice making these decisions so that next time it comes around, if we are an employee-owned company, they can roll. Mm-hmm. They can look back and say, okay, well, last time we had to face this issue, here's how we approached it, and this is what was good about it, and this is what we could have done better. So let's try to do it better this time.
Yeah.
But a lot of it too is, I mean, there's all the legal pieces of it, like making sure that our credit cards and our leases and our contracts are all in, you know, the name of the business and not me personally.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is me personally.
Yeah.
So kind of just working to clean those things up.
Yeah. 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 No, absolutely. Now, clearly your five different locations in San Francisco, are they kind of all, give us a vision of the stores. Are they all kind of quite similar or is there
not
complete difference?
At all. Yeah. They're all completely different expressions. Each of my cafes is a completely unique destination. So Valencia Street, which is our flagship, it's big. It's almost 2,000 square feet. And it's always been a place where, you know, people come and have meetings or meet up with friends or hang out and do work. And they, you know, people know that they can always get a table there. And there's always, you know, one of my favorite things to see is walking in, you often see a lot of analog stuff happening, which we live in a very digital city. But people, you know, looking at art books and reading poetry or even making art in the cafe and doing some drawing, things like that. And that always makes me really happy. And then our next cafe is Hayes Valley, which is, it's the first cafe in the United States that was built in a shipping container. And it's in the heart of Hayes Valley, which is a really vibrant community. And we're right next to a park. So our kind of outdoor space bleeds onto the park. And it's always just an amazing people watching scene of skateboarders and people walking their dogs. And, you know, and it's in a very fashionable part of San Francisco. So people's clothes are amazing and creative. And then my Haight Street Cafe is, it's just a couple blocks away from Haight Ashbury, which is an iconic San Francisco location. And it's probably my most beautiful cafe. It's very much modeled on, like, it's a modern take on some of, you know, the old European cafes. Mm. It's on a corner and it just has a ton of natural light and beautiful light fixtures in it. The view you're looking at, one way you look out, you're looking at this beautiful park, and another way you're looking at the house that Jimi Hendrix was born in. Oh, so wow. It's kind of like, that's an iconic San Francisco location. And then up in Napa in wine country, we're in the Oxbow Public Market, which is a, you know, a European-style food market where we're surrounded by food purveyors who do the best of what they do. And so people come there as a destination and they get delicious coffee and amazing, you know, charcuterie or amazing olive oil or amazing chocolate. It's a really special place. And then our location at the airport at SFO is in the new Harvey Milk terminal. And the terminal itself is, it's not a typical airport terminal. It has really high ceilings, really incredible sound engineering. So it's actually nice and quiet. And we have a really, a huge cafe. I think it's 2,000 square feet. And it has an entrance on the front and an entrance on the back. So you can go in and get your food and your coffee and sit in the cafe. And then you can exit out the back to the airport lounge. And it almost feels like, I don't know, there's just such a nice flow to the cafe where it's like a river flowing through the cafe.
Wow. So a different feel and clearly a different community on each and every one of those outlets.
Yeah.
And how do you kind of foster that community in different environments? Does it sort of happen naturally just by the makeup of the people that are visiting or frequenting? Do you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it is the culture of our company and just that we really value community. So I think partly it's, yes, baristas are drawn to work in particular cafes and develop really deep relationships with the people in the community. And so that's a big part of what builds that. So I think, you know, just having employees who are really community minded and think about how to create community and how to be welcoming to many different kinds of people in our community. And, you know, one of my favorite things is when, as baristas, sometimes we get to introduce customers to one another and they might be neighbors, you know, and it's like they've been neighbors on the same block for years, but we're the catalyst for them getting to know each other. And that's, you know, one of the concrete things that really builds community, people getting to know their neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're sitting in this really, really influential part of the world where so much has been created, in the world, all the incredible tech and social media that's been founded. How much do you think that you're in the right place at the right time with all those techies around? They drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah. I mean, that's the culture of San Francisco. You know, we're the city of art and innovation. And so just being, you know, having all of those people be part of my community influences who we are and how we do things. Yeah. So there's so many people who hang out at Ritual and you know, and we get to be a part of those stories too, right? Like the founders of Flickr and Twitter and Slack, you know, and so many of these companies, their founders were hanging out at Ritual. And then, you know, I mean, Twitter was one of my favorites because when they set up their office, they were like, can you come help us figure out how to have good coffee in the office? And, you know, I was over there setting up their espresso machine and things like that.
And the irony is probably they come to your place for that analog experience, the complete opposite of their world of tech.
Yeah. That's actually, that's one of the controversial things that we do. We still don't have Wi-Fi. And sometimes people are just completely outraged that there's a cafe in the heart of San Francisco in 2024 that doesn't offer Wi-Fi. but there's lots of Wi-Fi out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hard to find. And we love that, you know, like I was describing before, that when you walk in the cafe, there's people reading paper books or doing completely analog things. And we want to carve out a place for that in this increasingly digital world.
Yeah. Fantastic. So looking forward into the future, you mentioned you wanted to make your business an employee-owned business. What other ambitions have you got for Ritual?
I want to continue to grow because that creates opportunities for employees and it increases our influence. You know, I think about, like, just yesterday I was meeting with our exporter for coffee from Rwanda, and she was talking about some of the sustainability initiatives that she's working on right now and things that she's doing. Basically, you know, she takes a certain amount of money from every pound of coffee that we buy and makes sure that it gets shunted into a particular fund for this one community, and then they decide what to do with it. And just the impact that this is having, you know, that there's this, it's a women's cooperative in Rwanda, you know, they're deciding what to do with this money. And so, for example, they're going to build a water pump that's going to pump water.
Yeah.
And what that means is that the girls can go to school instead of spending their day going to get water.
Yeah.
You know, there's still so much work to be done. And so for me, I want to continue to grow in ways where we're able to have a greater impact and do more of those projects, but still at a scale where we know, you know, what our communities need, and we can work with people who know what their communities need and create these conduits, you know, of connection between San Francisco and places like Rwanda or Burundi.
Eileen, thanks for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun to talk.
And that's all for this week's Fifth Wave podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share the link with a friend or colleague. Also, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we'd really love a 5-star review to help us increase our reach across the industry. To stay informed, visit worldcoffeeportal.com. To get access to all the latest global coffee news, including the weekly Coffee Dose, collecting all the big coffee news stories. Links are in the show notes. This episode was produced in the one and only Serendipity Studios in glorious Camden, North London. It was produced by myself, Jeffrey Young, Hannah Heath, and sound engineering by Chris Bristow. Continuing with the theme of California, this week's song in collaboration with the Coffee Music Project is the winning song from the 2018 Coffee Music Project in LA, Say It Again, by artist Madeline May. Until next time, stay safe, stay passionate, and stay caffeinated.